Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Levi's, Plow & Hearth, Adidas, Sephora, and Neiman Marcus. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. And it's easy to use. And you get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's Rakuten. Rakuten.com.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to our Three Down Nation CFL picks for week 7. I'm John Hodge, joined by JC Abbott. JC, you only went 1-2 against the spread last week. What's going on?
You firing darts from glass houses over here. Mr. 0-3 talking about my 1-2.
Yeah, now you're throwing out false, lying, hateful accusations, JC. I wasn't 0-3. Every other person who does picks was 0-3. I was actually 3-0, and anything else is a conspiracy.
Well, I'm glad that you're sticking to your guns on that one. Just remember, folks, trust me sometimes. Trust John Hodge never.
Trust John Hodge never. That line goes pretty hard. I should put that on business cards. Trust John Hodge never. I like it. I like it a lot. We are back to a 4-game slate in week 7. Thankfully, week 6 was probably the weirdest week in CFL history. We did not have a full podcast episode on Monday to talk about it. Apologies. We will be back this Monday to break down all of the week 7 action, hopefully with Justin Dunk joining the two of us. Game number 1. The Montreal Alouettes are 7.5-point home favorites over the Toronto Argonauts on Thursday night, with both teams coming off a bye. The Alouettes appear set to get some big contributors back in the lineup, including franchise quarterback Davis Alexander and star receiver Austin Mack, while the Alouettes remain banged up with franchise quarterback Chad Kelly still out and award-winning offensive lineman Ryan Hunter out long-term after reportedly getting hit by a car. Ouch. JC, can Toronto keep this game close, or will it be all Alouettes?
I think Toronto can keep this game relatively close, and it's mostly to do with who they're getting back on the defensive side of the ball, because Wynton McManus will be back in the lineup. We all know how we feel about him. He's arguably the best defensive player in the CFL when healthy, an absolutely game-breaking inside linebacker who can truly do it all, and I think changes that defense fundamentally. And then Derek Parrish as well at defensive end will help boost what's already been a pretty decent pass rush for the Toronto Argonauts. Maybe their only strength thus far to this season has been the ability to get some pressure with guys like Andrew Chatfield. Derek Parrish will help that. But I don't trust them to win this game because, A, they've got a big, big hole on that offensive line. Aneem Donkwa at right tackle currently is an unproven commodity who, coming in through the draft process, the big question was, well, can he move well enough to even play at the CFL level? Now you're sticking him out at right tackle against one of the best defensive lines in the CFL. I think that's going to be a real challenge for a team that's already struggled to protect the quarterback. And not having Chad Kelly back in the lineup, again, I just don't think this offense is very good without him. So with the Montreal Alouettes getting back their star signal caller in Davis Alexander, I think that's going to erase a lot of the flaws we've seen from them in the last couple weeks, get them back to the winning football formula that they played through the first 3 weeks of the season, and they're going to win this game. I just don't think it's going to be quite a 7.5-point spread. I'm taking the Argos to cover on that.
Wouldn't shock me if the Argos covered this spread, but I am picking them to not cover this spread. I've got the Montreal Alouettes winning this game and winning it big, to be quite frank. This team is 3-0 with Davis Alexander in the lineup. They're 3-0 with Austin Mack in the lineup. We all know how good their defense is. Their offense has not done a good job the last couple weeks moving the football, sustaining drives, protecting the football. I think that changes in a big way. They were running the ball well to start the year. I think part of the reason why was teams were fearful of how effectively they'd push the ball downfield, right? We heard from multiple Alouettes before the season started that they were bullish on the way in which Davis Alexander was going to be able to open up the deep passing game. And yes, Tyson Philpott is questionable to play in this one. That being said, I think the Alouettes are pissed off after losing two straight games. And I think that they are highly motivated to get back into first place in the East Division. Of course, slipping down a spot after being surpassed by the Hamilton Tiger Cats, who beat them just a couple of weeks ago in a surprise upset. So I am all on the Alouettes here. I think the Alouettes are a championship pedigree type of team. I do still think that ultimately they are the best team in the East Division. That's obviously not reflected in the standings. But at full strength, this team is, I think, the number one team in the CFL. They weren't number one on my power rankings ballot this week, full disclosure, because they've been limited, but I see them getting back, if not to the number one spot, very close. I've got the Alouettes winning here, and I think they will win by double digits. I really do. If the Argos cover this spread, I think it'll be a backdoor cover. I don't think this game's going to be close. To me, games like this, if you're going to win it, right, if you're the Argos, it's how they won the Grey Cup. You have to win it on turnovers. I looked up the numbers this morning, JC. Montreal, even over the last couple games without stars like Austin Mack and Davis Alexander, have the fewest turnovers in the CFL this season, fewest giveaways. The Toronto Argonauts last in takeaways. They are not doing a good job forcing those turnovers. And yes, I agree with you. Wynton McManus is sensational. He'll help. Derek Parrish, nice pass rusher off the edge. He'll help. I just don't think that they will be enough to get this done. I think if the Argos are going to win this, they need to be at least plus two in the turnover category. And the Alouettes just aren't coughing up the ball, right? We saw that in the East Final last year. The Alouettes coughed up the ball a million times. If they don't do that this week, I think they win. I think they win handily. Give me the Alouettes, and I'm happy to eat those 7.5 points.
The Winnipeg Blue Bombers are 3.5-point home favorites over the Calgary Stampeders when the West Division rivals clash at Princess Auto Stadium on Friday night. The Stampeders have been on a tear as of late, recording back-to-back double-digit wins over Winnipeg and Saskatchewan to reach first place in the West Division. Meanwhile, the Blue Bombers are coming off a bye with receiver Dalton Schoen and left tackle Stanley Bryant nursing injuries. Will the Blue Bombers exact revenge for their Week 5 loss, or can the Stampeders keep the good times rolling?
I think you have to be unbelievably impressed with the Calgary Stampeders. They were number one on my power rankings ballot. Beating Winnipeg handily and then going into Saskatchewan and mopping the floor with the Rough Riders, even after a day delay, like two of the most impressive wins we've seen in the CFL in years, and they came back-to-back from the same club. Unbelievably impressive. Vernon Adams Jr. is playing great football. Their defense has been absolutely stifling. I will pick them to cover this game. I do think this will be a field goal type of contest. That said, I am going to take the Bombers straight up, and there's two reasons why. One, obviously playing at Princess Auto Stadium, toughest test in the CFL. There's no doubt about it. No disrespect to some other clubs that have good atmospheres at their buildings, who have got good crowds. Winnipeg has an eighth straight sellout. It's starting to honestly look like, JC, that Winnipeg is going to sell out their season. I'm not sure a CFL team has ever fully sold out a season before. I think they're going to do it in 2025. And the crowd is going to be lights out, I think, regardless, just given the matchup. But the other thing is a non-football reason, an off-field reason, and that is that the CFL and TSN panel is going to be in Winnipeg with Milt Stegall making his return for the first time since the tragic passing of his 20-year-old son, Chase. And I know how desperately the fans in Winnipeg are going to want to offer their love, their support for Milt Stegall. I think it's going to be a really emotional night. And I think when you add all those things into account, the Stampeders are really running into a buzzsaw here. And again, I'm not downplaying for a second what the Stampeders have accomplished. In all three phases, they've been great. They could absolutely win this game. But I think when you look at the home field advantage, when you look at the emotional weight of this contest, the Bombers, I think, having an advantage coming off the bye as well. They've had a lot of time to sit back and study that film from week five. I've got the Blue Bombers eking this one out. And then the third and final game of this season series will be set for McMahon Stadium next month. That'll be a must-watch game with the rubber match up for grabs. But I do have the Bombers winning a tight one on an emotional, action-packed night at Princess Auto Stadium.
I agree with you, Hodge, and I actually have the Bombers covering this spread. I think they'll win by a touchdown in this game for a lot of the reasons that you laid out, but also just the rest factor here, right? The Bombers are coming off a bye, and we all know when the Bombers are coming off a bye, they win. That's just been the formula with Mike O'Shea at the helm. They've been very good with that added rest, and the Calgary Stampeders were suddenly thrust into a slightly short week this week because of everything that happened with the game delay last week in Saskatchewan. They'll have less rest, and after two big victories, I think they are due for a bit of an emotional letdown here. That's not to take anything away from what they've accomplished. I've become a true believer in the Calgary Stampeders over the last 2 weeks. I had some skepticism, some concerns. They've addressed all that. I think they found fantastic pieces on the defensive line. I think they've revamped that secondary. And a guy like Damien Alford last week proved that he could do what he did in college, which is run go routes on the outside and be a size speed mismatch at the professional level. But I don't think Winnipeg's going to give up that yardage so easy. I think they're going to rally around. They are going to be emotionally motivated. I think VA probably commits a couple of turnovers in this game, and that's going to be the difference. I'm taking Winnipeg, and I'm taking them by a touchdown.
The Saskatchewan Roughriders will visit the BC Lions in Vancouver on Saturday night, where the game is a pick 'em. The Riders suffered their first loss of the season last week, a one-sided drubbing at the hands of the Stampeders, while the Lions crushed the Edmonton Elks to get back to 500 at 3-3. Saskatchewan's secondary has some question marks as reigning All-CFL selections Marcus Sales and Roland Milligan Jr. are battling injury. Can the Riders overcome their injuries to reclaim the watermelon smash, or will BC make it three wins in a row?
I think the Lions can accomplish this and win three games in a row. Typically, all else being equal, the Saskatchewan Roughriders, I think, are the better football team here. But BC has the better quarterback right now. Nathan Rourke is playing at an exceptionally high level. His decision-making, the way he's getting the ball out of his hands, has been tremendous since he came back from injury. And I think he's only going to get better as he gets more comfortable with that oblique. Add in some of the concerns in that secondary. We don't know if Tavon Campbell will be back after missing last week. We saw what that allowed Damien Alford to do on the outside. Justin McInnes might have some success in a similar manner. And then Roland Milligan and Marcus Sales, right? If you've got a bunch of backups in that secondary, it's not that they're not good players, but there's going to be a lot less experience out there. And against a quarterback like Nathan Rourke, who can win with his mind and with his eyes, that's going to open up holes and opportunities. I don't think it's going to be a blowout victory by any stretch of the imagination, but if the Lions can get ahead early If they can score some points in the first quarter, finally, which they have not been able to do this season, and keep it rolling through the second, take AJ Ouellette out of the equation so they can't run the ball like they did against the Lions the last time, then I think BC can win this game. So I'll take the Lions to win at home.
Yeah, the BC Lions passed last week's test with flying colors. Andrew Pearson was brilliant at center. Chris Schlueger taking over for Dejon Allen's been solid at right tackle. And then defensively, I mean, you mentioned how this team has previously struggled against the run. They were brilliant at Edmonton. Mm-hmm. Micah Awe was covering sideline to sideline. Ben Haladic there. Some of their young defensive linemen also really stepping up, especially with the suspension holding Kamoko Touré out of this past week's game. So I don't expect the BC Lions to be as dominant on defense as they were against the Edmonton Elks, right? Giving up 160 net yards of offense, that's probably not a repeatable performance. But I do have the BC Lions winning this game. I think that Nathan Rourke has started to play his best football of the season. His reads against the Edmonton Elks were absolutely lightning fast, completely eliminating any pass rush opportunity that team was able to get. I do think the Riders have had a better pass rush so far this season than the Elks. That said, I think that Nathan Rourke, with how quickly he's making his decisions with the football, can basically eliminate that. And the secondary is really what scares me with Saskatchewan. Like right now, the Rough Riders are eighth in passing yardage allowed this season per game. That is not what we're used to seeing from this squad. And then you add in the fact that Roland Milligan Jr. might not play this week. Tavon Campbell was out. Antoine Brooks Jr. got burned for a long touchdown in that game, replacing Campbell. And Marcus Sales out as well. Like, they have some depth in Saskatchewan, don't get me wrong, but you can't take arguably the three best players out of a secondary and have high hopes going into a game against arguably the best quarterback in the CFL, who, by the way, is taking, I think, a great job taking advantage of guys like Keon Hatcher, having a big bounce back year for that BC Lions team. Stanley Berryhill starting to figure it out, starting to break out a little bit at that boundary receiver spot. And then Justin McInnes, who's having maybe not a torrid season like he did last year, but still a very respectable one. Javon Katoy also got going last week. Really great physical game from him. So I am bullish on the BC Lions. I think they've started to find their footing. Really good win in Montreal, a big win in Edmonton. Now they get to return to the friendly confines of BC Place Stadium, where they haven't played in almost a month, JC. It's going to be weird for you covering this game in person. It's been a while since you did that. I've got the Lions winning this game over a banged up Riders team.
The Ottawa Redblacks are 1.5-point home underdogs to the Hamilton Tiger Cats on Sunday night, where they'll look to snap a 3-game losing skid that has landed them at the bottom of the East Division standings. These two teams met in Steeltown last week as the Tiger Cats completed a late comeback when Kenny Lawler caught his second touchdown pass of the night. Can the Redblacks slow Lawler down this week, or will Hamilton win a fourth straight game?
Look, the Tiger Cats have been super impressive. If the season ended today, I think Kenny Lawler's the MOP. Mm-hmm. Julian Hauser, who I thought, frankly, was washed, has been very good rushing off the edge for the Tiger Cats. He's lost some weight, I understand. He's got a little more quickness, some better burst off the line of scrimmage than he's had the last couple of years. Miles Fox has been disruptive in the middle for the Tiger Cats. Devin Verisuk, I think, has lit some energy into that defense, playing at middle linebacker, the rookie out of the University of Windsor. Bo Levi Mitchell making good decisions with the ball. The offensive line of Jordan Murray was great in his debut last week at left tackle. I think the Tabbies are the best story in the CFL for the last few weeks. Meanwhile, you got the Redblacks, worst in yards per play offensively. They are eighth in penalties. They are they're taking way too many flags. They have since Bob Nice became their head coach, and their turnover ratio is even. So it's not even like their turnover ratio is the reason why they're getting hammered every week at 1-5, worst record in the CFL. Their takeaways are fine. Their giveaways are fine. Like, they're just man for man. They're just not there. But I'm taking them to win this week, JC. I am. I've taken the Red Blacks. I don't care that they are not favored here. I don't care that they just lost to the Tabbies last week. The reason I'm picking the Red Blacks is simple. They have a bye coming up. If they fall to 1-6, I hate speculating about people's jobs, but you have to wonder if there's a coaching change, right? At 1-6, like, people were expecting this to be a playoff team. JC, you picked them to win the damn Grey Cup, right? People are expecting this Red Blacks team to be good this season. If they start 1-6 and they're heading into a bye when you could very easily make a coaching change, I think there's a non-zero percent chance that happens. And I think that the players in Ottawa like Bob Dyce too much to make that happen. I think they show up for their head coach. I think they play well for their head coach. And I think they get the win against the surging Ticats. This is my upset this week. Give me the Red Blacks to win it at home in the nation's capital and arguably, JC, save their season.
We're journalists, Hodge. We don't root for results, but deep in my heart of hearts, I am pulling for Ottawa this week because I have a lot of respect for Bob Dyce, and I don't want that speculation to come true. I think the Red Blacks will show some fire. They can rally around, but I think their flaws are just too big to overcome right now, right? You've got Dyce coming on the radio the last couple of weeks and saying, hey, there are guys that I'm playing right now that I would have rather cut that I can't because we just don't have the bodies. Like, that's not a good situation to be in. I thought they fought valiantly last week. I thought they showed some signs of growth, but it didn't pay off. And I don't know if they have it in them right now to do that twice in a row. I think the Hamilton Tiger Cats are the type of team that's going to bounce back from a weaker performance against Ottawa, that they're going to see the flaws that they showed and correct them. I think Kenny Lawler is basically uncoverable at this stage right now of the season. I think Bo Levi Mitchell is playing at a high level, and I just don't think things are working in Ottawa. So I can't in good conscience take them to win this football game. I've got the Hamilton Tiger Cats. I hope I'm wrong because I want Ottawa to go into this bye week on a win. I want that feel-good story, but unfortunately, I just don't see it playing out that way.
Well, we are on different sides of a couple of these games against the spread, so I look forward, JC, to next week when inevitably all my picks were right and all of your picks were wrong, because we all know that last week I went 3-0, not like this terrible conspiracy that I'm very, very hurt by you throwing around that I went 0-3, very disappointed, but that's okay. I forgive you. We are friends after all. On that note, we thank you as always for listening to the Three Down Nation podcast. Those are our picks for Week 7. Enjoy the games, folks. We'll be back on Monday for a full podcast episode, and of course on Wednesday for our Week 8 picks. For JC Abbott, I'm John Hodge. We'll see you then.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.